expectation of the rising of the sun on a Sunday morning, Lord. But we know that, Lord, one of these Sunday mornings between 6 and 9, that the dead in Christ will rise. As it was in the rising of the first S-O-N, we know it will be the same in our day. And we gather here with also expectation, the very evidence that we believe this morning. We believe, Father, because you have caused us to believe. You have given us a love that shed abroad in our hearts to love you, to love your word, to love your people, to be in your great presence this morning. We ask as we gather ourselves this morning, Father, that you will search our hearts. You will encourage us, Lord, and make us the real, Father. We desire to be nothing less than Jesus Christ, reflected in human flesh. I pray that you anoint your people, anoint your servant, anoint your word. And I pray, O Lord, that we leave here, Father, that you would so transform us that we might be better men and better women. So much more in love with you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you just have the preeminences. That which we do not have, I pray that you anoint us with. That which we do possess, we give to thee, that thou might use it. That in all and all now be glorified, Father. We know that you are the great teacher, Lord, and you are also the lesson. So may we now sit at thee and thy feet and learn of thee, Lord, which is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you happy this morning?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Happy to be in the house of the Lord once more. And first time I'm preaching to Brother Louis, not in meetings, but just the local church. I'm just really happy. Appreciate your pastor, he's a real gentleman. And appreciate his family for being so gracious to us and so kind, and I pray the Lord will just bless them. Amen. I really am looking forward to have them over in our place, and just really openly invite them to come. And appreciate his wife, a real servant of the Lord, and she just has the right temperament for a pastor's wife. God bless you this morning. And Hebrews chapter 11. I want to preach on something short, and I was looking at my notes this morning, and you know, short is not, that's not me, short is Brother Cyril. He doesn't mind that, he takes a good joke. So, Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. I'd just like to speak on the Bride of Christ, just a little bit, the makeup of the Bride of Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, starting with the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that see such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. In the book of Revelation chapter 5, starting with the 8th verse. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Father, we ask that you just anoint your word one more time. Not only anoint it, Father, but anoint us that we might be of the same anointing, and we might be able to understand the things of God and this book that is beyond us, that you will give us the ability, Lord, to understand and to have faith and to appreciate your wisdom and your great plan that you have in store for your people, Lord. I ask that you bless your children now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to read a quote for you, if you don't mind. And it's a very powerful quote from the Hebrews chapter 1 series. Brother Bram says, and he said, I can't keep from Abraham, seeing that he is heir of the earth. Amen. I reveal my secrets. In other words, to those who are heir of the earth. That's where the church ought to be today. That's right. Get the secrets of God. Know how to hold yourself, act, and what to do, and how to walk, and how to live. We are the heirs of the earth. And God said to Abraham, he said, can I hide from Abraham the things that I'm about to do? In other words, God was saying that I am going to reveal my secrets to them that are heirs. And the only one who are heirs is Abraham's seed. If God revealed himself to Abraham and his secrets to Abraham, then Abraham's seed must also have the same privilege. And therefore, in Abraham's life, everything that happens to us has happened to Abraham. Amen. Abraham was called of God out of idolatry. Amen. He didn't go looking for God. God came looking for him. Amen. Abraham was in the Trinity or the Nimrod religion, worshipping Trinitarian gods. Because in Chaldea, over the Euphrates, was Nimrod's kingdom, Nimrod's religion. They worship idols. In the book of Judges, it says Abraham was called from idolatry. In the book of Judges. And so we find that Abraham, like us, was in the system. And God called Abraham out from across, amen, one side of Euphrates to the other side of the Euphrates. And very significant that when Abraham came over from the Euphrates, now he was called a Hebrew. Hebrew means one that is drawn across the river. Amen. If you've been called and drawn across the river, then you're a Hebrew. You see, the word Hebrew was not talking about a race of people. It was talking about a people who was on a journey. Who was looking for something. God had called him to something. Amen. We are not called to set up kingdoms here. We don't care who's the politician of the country and the king of the country. And we don't care about that because this is not our country. And that's not really our leader. That's a, we are just in transition. Amen. We have one king. And we have one city. Amen. And we are pilgrims of another country. We are just sojourning here. Nothing to be established permanent. Just to do the will of our Father. And to learn. What is the journey all about? What is the journey all about? The journey is to tutor us in the things that God knows we need so that we can take our position in the future kingdom. Amen. You are born to be kings and priests. Amen. You have a position. You are joint heirs of this earth. Amen. You are joint heirs with Christ. And so the journey is so that God will reveal himself to you and reveal who you really are. Amen. Amen. Because we suffer from amnesia. We really don't know our true identity. And if you don't know your identity, surely you don't know your position. But this is God Harvard University. This is God Harvard University. This is God's simulator. You are living in his simulator. Amen. And he simulated different situations and circumstances to bring character to you. To bring wisdom to you. To develop, character, to develop the right mental attitude, to develop your leadership skill, the kind of leadership that you need for the future kingdom.
And that's why we're here. We're here. Adam, if Adam had lived, Adam would have never come to be a right leader. He did not have all that he needed. That's why God had to put him on a test. Did not God know he would fall? Of course he knew he would fall. Did God stop him from falling? No. Because there was much for God to teach him. And it was much for him to learn. You see, Adam did not know the love of God. Not the way you would know it. If Adam had the love of God and knew the love of God, Adam would never be afraid. The Bible said, and Adam was afraid and he hid himself. And where perfect love is, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, Adam had love, but it was not perfected. See, the word perfect has different meanings. Adam was a perfect man, but he was not the perfect man. If Adam was the perfect man, then Jesus must have been the more perfect man. Because Jesus is not Adam made over. He is a new creation altogether. Higher than Adam. Yeah. Amen. A greater creation than Adam. Amen. And therefore, when you say perfect, you have to qualify perfect. Now, Adam had perfect love, but he didn't have the perfect love. Amen. Therefore, Adam did not know the length and depth and the breadth of the love of God. That was to be revealed after the fall. That is where you and I, it would be revealed to us that we might come to know and believe the love that God had for us. Amen. And Paul said that you may come to know the length and depth and breadth, amen, of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That surpasses all knowledge. Adam didn't know that. Therefore, he was permitted to fall and God might reveal himself, his love. How rich his love is. How deep his love is. That Paul can say, what can separate us from the love of God? Yeah. Amen. Can my faults, can my unbelief separate us? It cannot. You see, how did it separate Adam? He permitted it that Adam might learn. But today, your unbelief cannot separate you. You say, but what are you saying? God will not permit it. Were you not separated from God in the world? In sin and unbelief, then? Did you start believing or did he find you to cause you to believe? And if eternal life is a gift, then the faith to believe it must be a gift also. You see, it is to take the fear out of you. You didn't find him, he found you. And it's not you holding on to him, it's him holding on to you. It's not what you do, it's what he has done. It has nothing to do with you. He called, he justified. Amen. What is he doing? He's revealing this love. Amen. Amen. That you can relax and have confidence that no matter what happens. Amen. Amen. So he's revealing his secrets to Abraham. And he called Abraham. Called him. Justified Abraham. And then when God called Abraham, he didn't call him like he called Adam. He did not say, Abraham, if you would follow me, I will give you this land. He didn't say, Abraham, if you behave, I will give you the land. He didn't say, Abraham, if you really believe, I'll give you a son. He told Adam, if you will not partake of the tree in the midst of the land, then you shall live forever. Didn't tell Abraham that at all. Now, Abraham's seed cannot be told that either. Whatever he tells Abraham, he must tell Abraham's seed. Even whatever covenant he calls with Abraham is the same covenant he calls with you. Amen. So therefore, we are not under the Edenic covenant. Amen. We are not under the Adamic covenant. Amen. We are under the Abrahamic covenant. Amen. That's why we are called seeds of Abraham. We are called children of Abraham. And Abraham is called the father of many nations. Why? Because their bride is made up of many nations. Abraham's seed is not even restricted to the Jewish line. Amen. So we find that God began to reveal himself to Abraham. Did not God reveal himself in justification to Abraham? That God called it. Genesis 12, God brought him through the Euphrates. And in Genesis 13, Abraham backslides. And Abraham goes back into the world. Abraham goes back into business. Abraham has political connections. The church going through political connections. Amen. And the church wants to control Sarah and sow seed in Sarah. The king, the politicians. Abraham got caught up in a mess down there. And did not God call Abraham out again and protected Abraham? He's protecting the seed. That is what he was protecting, the seed. He was watching over his promise. It's not Abraham to watch it. It is God watching it. Abraham sure he messed up. Abraham sure he went back into Egypt. Abraham left the altar of God. The very altar that God he built in a very experience he had with God, he left that altar. That's why the church left the faith. Got caught up in politics. Amen. Politicians and kings and so forth wants to give the church and dress the church and sow seed in the church. But God is watching over that womb. Watching over that promise. That we will bring forth Christ. Amen. Amen. She will reproduce the seed. Amen. That's why we're here today. Because God watched it through his ages. And then God told him, allowed the seed, the womb to remain clean, and brought him out again. And he went through sanctification. And he began to notice, not that he was just called and elect and justified, but also now God is taking him back to the blood sacrifice in Genesis 15, showing him the sacrifice. And God is putting him to sleep, showing him the covenant that he's going to make in death and resurrection. Genesis 17, God is strengthening Abraham. Abraham types that as Pentecost. Look at what Abraham, everything the church went through. Everything Abraham is going through, the church had to go through. Genesis 17, El Shaddai, the strength giver, strengthening Abraham. Abraham typing that as Pentecost. Genesis 18, in Mamre. In Mamre, Abraham sitting under a tree, under the shade, under the protection. Not just a tree, but it represents that Abraham was under the, you know, the tree represents life. Isn't that true? Amen. Abraham, under the shade of the tree, under the shade and protection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, here comes God in human flesh, appearing to Abraham in human flesh, like in our day. And now watch. Abraham seeing God appear in human flesh, he did not say, Lord. Because the one who was revealing to Abraham all the time, the church, is the same one who he saw in light, he saw in voice, he saw in different form, now was in human flesh. And Abraham knew it was not Lord's. That revelation, he said, it was Lord. He knew it was Lord because you see, in this day, he appeared again. Seven angels appears, but he is only noticing one angel. Seven appears, but he is only noticing one. Three appeared, he's only noticing one. Three appear today, he only is noticing one, the one with discerning of the heart. Amen. We didn't pay any attention to Oral Roberts. We didn't pay any attention to Billy Graham, but many people did. But not the bride.
Amen.
Amen. Because they don't have our message. Their voice has no affinity with us. My sheep will hear my voice. And another they will not follow.
Amen.
They were the voice of the angel. This is the voice of the Creator.
Amen.
Oh, look how blessed you are. Amen. That something in you could recognize the voice between the three angels.
Amen.
And the prophet himself looking up and sees seven, he said, said, you see that angel, the one with the swept back ones, the one that looked more peculiar to me than all the rest. Why? That was the one with the seven seals. That is the one that held the mystery of resurrection, the mystery of rapture. Amen. The mystery of the union, the mystery of the marriage, the mystery of adoption, the mystery of the power to transform, the body change message. Isn't that the one who brought Abraham the body change message? Isn't that the one who brought the discernment of the heart? Isn't that the one who made the promise? Isn't that not the one who knew and changed Sarah's name to Sarah?
Amen.
Amen. The very same one. Therefore, if Abraham saw God in human flesh, then what did we see? Abraham saw Melchizedek in another form. He saw Melchizedek in another form. He began to understand the theophanic world and how God appears in theophany. Is that not what has been taught to us? When he appeared in this day, Abraham said, how can this be? How can God eat half and drink milk? He must have known something. He offered it to God. And then in this day, God sat and ate with many people. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. If you are willing to believe, amen, that Brother Branham was the very presence of God, and that God himself was, that's what presence parousia means, the very presence of Jehovah, even the form of a man. Amen. And you have to believe he did. Amen. If you believe the same man is in the thoughts of the heart, amen, through this very same body, you have to believe the same man must have ate. Amen. And man walked in fellowship in this day. Why do you think they loved Brother Branham so? Why do you think they liked to be around him? Because Brother Branham said, when he is there, it's a sweet atmosphere.
Amen.
It's a welcoming spirit.
Amen.
So the church, just like Abraham, everything Abraham experienced, the church of Abraham or the seed of Abraham must also experience. Abraham became an overcomer. That's very careful. Abraham became an overcomer. Adam failed, but Abraham became an overcomer. Abraham became an overcomer by grace. Adam was given law and failed. You see, under law, under conditional covenant, you will always fail. But under the covenant of grace, you can never fail because it's not you.
Yes.
It is him.
Amen.
That's why Abraham's seed cannot fail.
Amen.
Cannot fail. So in Genesis 18, when God appeared to Abraham, it was in a certain time, in a certain season, that he appeared. It was a promise. And he appeared in Genesis 18 to reveal to Abraham and to confirm the covenant. And he said to Abraham, I will visit Sarah. Because every time God appeared, he visited Abraham. Isn't that true? But this time he stepped and he said, in other words, when I come back with the refilling or the dynamics, it is Sarah I'm coming to visit. Amen. I will visit Sarah according to the time of life.
Amen.
Now, in the word, in the Bible, time is. It's not the way you think time is. God's time is not the way you think time is. We keep time by the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. God don't do that. Amen. God keeps time by conditions. For instance, if God says to Brother Branham, he shows him a vision about praying for a baby. And the Brother Branham goes to the house, he sees the baby sick, he sees everything is 99% right, but one thing is out of place. Maybe a hat, maybe somebody standing over a door. It's not there. It's not the time.
Yeah.
Even though he's in the house, he sees the baby, he sees the house, he knows the house, he sees the baby sick, he goes to pray for the baby. Still wouldn't happen. It's not in God's time. Because even though it's the same day, it's the same day, the same hour, everything is right. The baby is there. But that's not God's time. And until the conditions are met, everything must be in its place, then that's the right time.
Amen.
Condition.
Amen.
Then that's the time. So time and condition, amen, or the circumstances must be right, then that's the time.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, the church is looking for something, but you must come in a condition.
Amen.
The condition tells the right time, and it will bring it to pass.
Amen.
God said, I'll visit Sarah according to the time of life. In other words, when she meets certain faith conditions. And the Bible said Sarah drew strength from Abraham.
Amen.
Abraham is a type of a prophet. Abraham is a type of the seed giver, the teacher, the priest of the house. Amen. And that's what you're doing. You're drawing what? Strength. She drew strength from Abraham to conceive. That's what we're doing. We're drawing strength from this message that we might conceive. Strength. And it's like time is given to bring the condition that God has in his mind. Let's say God wanted a right in his mind, he had a right man with his mind. He had a right man. I hope you like mango. Right mango in his mind. He speaks it, so it becomes from thought to word, now it's in time. Once it's in word, it's in time. Now it is in time, but it is not fulfilled because it must now materialize from word, from seed word. See to the germ of life of a man. Then that has to go through the stages of growth and reproduction. Then it comes into a mango. Now, when it comes into the mango, you just can't go pick it. Because you see, the condition that God has of a mango is a ripe mango. It's green. See, Sarah is still green. It's not the time. It's still green. And now she's got this green mango, and he has to wait again. Watch now. It's waiting on time. Because time is going to bring the right condition. And once the mango's condition comes to a place of being ripe, when it reaches the state of ripening, where it cannot ripen anymore, it crosses a line where it cannot ripen anymore, then, listen to this, it met the condition God had in his mind. And you know that mango is in eternity? When what is in God's mind is manifested, then that mango no longer exists in time. That mango is eternal or perpetual. You say, why? No matter how much time you give that mango, it can never become riper. No matter how much time you give that mango, it can never become riper. It has met the potential of what it is. It cannot become any more riper. So time does not affect the mango. Time is irrelevant to the mango. And when you come to such a place where your character is perfected, no matter how much time, how much test, how much trying, cannot change it. You already got it. And then you're no longer in time. Time cannot affect you. Because the condition that was in God's mind is here. And time is no more. That's what it means. So God sees time very differently. That's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for the same condition that Sarah was in, you to be in. That's the only reason we have this little bit of time. Because there is going to be another visitation. Brother calls it, the dynamics of this church will be the refilling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that which you saw in Abraham in part, you will see a majority in a many-membered people. See? Okay, now, so Abraham. Now watch, Abraham met Melchizedek. In Genesis 18. And when he met him, this Melchizedek was not only the bringer of the news of life and immortality, which we spoke the other day, but he was a king. And he was the king of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And I told you yesterday that Jerusalem means teacher of peace. That's what Jerusalem means. Go back and look into the language, you'll see. It means teacher of peace. Of course, the city represents a woman. The city represents the church. If the church husband is a king and he's the king of peace, guess what the woman will be? Guess what? If the king is the king of peace, guess what his sons will be? Prince of peace. And princes of peace. And if you say the sons are really church or bride in time, guess what kind of people they will be? A people of what? Peace. And so the king is appearing, amen, the king of peace is appearing to bring peace. And you cannot have peace unless you have faith. Amen. So he's bringing a kind of faith, amen, to Abraham, to Sarah, in his appearing, that is going to bring peace. Peace. And Isaiah 54:13, he says, amen, and all thy children shall be taught of thee, and great shall be thy peace. Amen. In other words, for Abraham and Sarah to have such faith and have such peace, amen, he's coming with a teaching. And we call that teaching the latter rain. Some people call it the harvest rain. Amen. But it's the latter rain, not the former rain. Amen. The first 6 years is called the former rain. Amen. But the latter rain is the seventh seal. Amen. If you're going to have peace, amen, it must be taught of you. 2 Peter 1:2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. It must be taught. Peace yet will come. Yep. Amen. Your heart must be taught, because peace is a way of thinking. Something that somehow your God is teaching you how to think. And listen, you want me to rob you of your peace? Easy to rob you of your peace. I just have to tell you some certain things and get your mind going. When an evangelist wants to question your peace or your faith, that's what his job is to do, is to question. Sometimes to question to see if you really got it. And if you don't, then he works on it. Amen. So somebody can rob you of your peace. If he can get you to move from the confidence and the thinking or the assurance that you have, he'll rob you of your peace. Amen. But this one was bringing peace, brother. He's bringing peace because he's going to bring a perfect teaching that's going to bring you into perfect faith, that is going to bring you into perfect peace, that is going to master every circumstance. Like Abraham. It says, against hope, he hoped. And Abraham called those things which were not as though they were. We talk about perfect faith. Amen. Amen. He didn't look at the circumstance. Amen. He was looking beyond the circumstance. Amen. The Bible said Abraham believed not in God. It never said that. Abraham believed God. Amen. If you read the right text of it, it said Abraham believed God. So you could believe in Christ for many things. It doesn't mean you believe him for everything. Denomination can believe in healing, but they don't believe him for certain other things. But when Abraham believed God, he believed that whatever and whoever and whatever ability God and who God is, I can believe that. Why? It means that Abraham had God unveiled to him, that he might know God and believe him in his fullness of his word and his power. Amen. The only way you can believe God that way is he had to be unveiled to Abraham. Is it true for Abraham's seed? If this be true for Abraham, this must be true for his seed. Because we need a body change. We need perfect faith. We need peace. Everything that happened to Abraham must also happen to us. Abraham was not preached to by the law. Abraham was preached the gospel. Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3:6. Watch the language of it very carefully. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God. Wait a minute. Notice it did not say Abraham believed in God. Abraham believed God. See? In other words, I can say two things to you here. Abraham could believe in God if somebody directed Abraham to God. But Abraham had an experience with God. He's not believing in what somebody said.
He's believing God because he's seeing God speak to him. God talk to him. God bringing the experience. God appearing. God unveiling. Not a man. Not just the man. The man is okay. He has to be used. But it is God. The God is what we believe in.
Amen.
Amen. Abraham believed not in God. He believed God. He believed the man that appeared was God. He believed the promise that was made was God. That it was impossible for God to lie. Two immutable things. Saying that God cannot lie. Therefore, it is important that we move from the in God to believe God. That it has become an experience where you see and you know that these books and these tapes and so forth is God speaking.
Amen.
Amen. The prophet himself did not know when he spoke. Amen. The prophet in hell sometimes did not know when he spoke. He spoke, "Oh, Capernaum, Capernaum, thou exalted itself above the heavens, thou shalt be brought down low." Amen. The prophet didn't say that. Amen. The prophet didn't say that. He had to go back and listen to the tape. He had to go back and listen to the tape. Who said it? God. Amen. We believe God.
Amen.
Amen. How? He has unveiled himself, proved himself that he is present. It was he that was present. The prophet wasn't trying to just... You see, there's one stage of your growth where you come to believe in Christ. Another stage of growth where you come to believe in the Word of God. And the next stage, in this hour, you believe in God. Because they believe in his Word, because he's not present. That's true for seven church ages. Keep Galatians. Let's go to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. And the 28th verse. This is a dispensational scripture. We are not little children. Amen. We are sons. Little children at seven church ages. 1 John 2:28. And now, speaking and now, present. Little children, abide in him. You see, they must abide in him through the word, seven church ages. Each one of them. For seven church ages, there was a part of the mystery being revealed. See? Starlight. Not the true light, starlight. That when he shall appear. See, while you're abiding in him, he's not there. But when he shall appear, we may have what? Confidence. The word confidence and faith is the same thing. Except the word confidence in the Greek there means that you have no fear. You have boldness. Boldness. When he shall appear. In other words, you have no faith. If you have no faith, it must be perfect faith. And you can't have perfect faith until God reveals himself in such a way to prove his love for you. That you might know and believe. Amen. Sorry, I'm already in tonight's message. But do you see what I'm saying? That when he shall appear, therefore we can say we believe God. Like Abraham in Galatians 3. He believed God. Let's go on to say now. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Now know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. Amen. Oh, I can see something here. Do you know that denomination believe that faith in Jesus Christ is righteousness? That's true. Faith in Christ is your righteousness. Faith in Christ justifies you. So they have faith in Christ. But if that faith in Christ does not become the faith of Christ, then they are not truly justified. And if you have come to a place of true justification, you cannot come there without this experience of seeing God on the day. Because that is the day we know what true justification was. We didn't know what true justification is.
True justification is the day that God appears. How do you know true justification? Because you see, the king is also the judge. The king is also the judge. Because in Genesis 18, when he appeared to Abraham, and Abraham, he said, Abraham, where's your wife Sarah? And Sarah smiled, and he told Sarah, he discerned her heart. Then Abraham, God began to walk and look down to Sodom. And when he looked at Sodom, and he looked back at Abraham, Abraham said, would not the judge of all the earth do right? He once called him Lord, now he's in the same Genesis 18, he's calling him, would not the judge of part of the world? Would not the judge of all the universal judge? Amen. So now we know that this judge has appeared to Abraham. It must appear to Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Must appear to Abraham's seed. And if he appears to Abraham and Abraham's seed, he's coming to show that even though Sarah laughed, because her name is in the Lamb's book, because, amen, she is elect, because she's predestinated, because, and Abraham, Sarah represents you. Sarah represents you. He cannot touch you.
Amen.
Amen. You are part of the mystery. Amen. You are part of the reproduction of the seed. It is in you that Christ will rise in the stature of a perfect man. It is in you. And that woman is going to be truly justified. Amen. Can you see that woman, please? I'm not going to give any more scriptures like this because this is my evening scriptures. Amen. Hebrews 9. Watch carefully. Hebrews 9. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many 2,000 years ago. Shall appear the second time. Huh? Shall appear what? The second time. Not first time. The second time. Unto salvation. Without sin. Without sin. Now who did he take on the sins of who? See, this scripture is not talking about the world, it's talking about the many, but it's only dealing with the elect. He took on the sins of the elect. He took the sins of the world, but the scripture is narrowing it down to a promise. You see, how can that be, Brother Tony? Because if you notice something, it says, unto them that look. Not to all that look. Unto them that look. Now, you will never know to look. Because you are not a seer, but there must be a seer, not a sleeper, a seer that is going to say, who do you say this is? Who is appearing? Says, what time is it? Amen. He's causing you to look. He's causing you to pay attention. And at the opening of the seals, the next two messages, one of the titles was the message, look. Amen. And that's where he took his text from. They have looked for him. Did you look? Did you see? Did you see the attraction on Sunset Mountain? Did you see the attraction in Sabino Canyon? What's the attraction on the mountain? Amen. It is the king not coming lowly, amen, on our ass, but we saw the king in type, amen, dressed in an Indian chief garb, riding a white horse.
Amen.
Coming. Showing you that the spiritual coming or the appearing is already upon you and I. Not going to happen. It was happening then, and it has happened. This scripture is now history. This scripture, Hebrews 9, is history. 1 John 2:28 is now history. Has already happened. Where's the effect of it? Where's the effect of it? We saw it in the prophet. But it must affect Sarah. And until the conditions are there, we are going still, time is still going to have its way with us. It's waiting for the right condition. The church was coming to the right condition. And unto them that look, the them is the elect.
that look for him shall he appear a second time without sin. Without sin, he went in. He don't have any sin. You know, do you know? Did Christ have any sin of his own? He went in with who? And for seven church ages, he had to stay there. Isn't it true? Until the last name was called. Then he got off the throne. He takes the book, which is to claim the names. He breaks the seal and he climbs back on the throne. And the pillar of fire comes down with the book in the form of an angel. That's how it works. And he appears. What is he doing? If he appears without sin, it means you are imputed to have no sin. None. That's why he said, you are the sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. Who is speaking there? The prophet? Does he have the right? Amen. Can he declare someone righteous? Can he declare someone justified? Brother, amen. That was the king speaking.
Amen.
Amen. You are the sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. No sin.
Amen.
Amen. He appeared in this day because he is king of peace and he is king of righteousness. And you cannot be righteous if you have sin. And he is the judge to know whether or not you are righteous or not. And righteousness is not what you do, it's what he has done for you. And he said, because I know what I have done for you, I can declare you righteous.
Amen.
Not what you do, it's what I have done. The work is finished. Now I'm here to prove it. To prove it. That's why up on Colorado Mountain, the prophet said, I always thought I had done something wrong. He said, I prayed and cried. If God will reveal to me, I'll get it right. But after that experience, it left him. Left him. The sense of guilt left him. And he was truly justified by experience. Abraham, Galatians 3. Amen. Even as Abraham believed God, 3:6, it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same as children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. You see, the heathen there is called of many nations. Of many nations, towns, and so forth. Abraham, see, for foreseeing that Abraham's seed would be made up of many kinds. See, the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. What did Abraham do? What was Abraham preached on the law? Conditional covenant. Abraham was preached the gospel. Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham was declared righteous, not by what he did, but by God making himself known to Abraham that he might believe. Do you think Abraham could disbelieve God? You think Abraham could disbelieve God after God appeared to him in voices and visions and a little of light in different forms? Do you think Brother Branham could have denied God upon belief? When an angel is standing there, when a pillar of fire is there, when he's taken up in translation, he didn't do that for you. You must believe by faith. And through the word. And you resolve your doubts that way. But do you think Brother Brown could have doubted? Look at the experiences. God had to make sure he thoroughly knew that it was real before he had come to such a place to trust him. And he believed God. He believed God. Just like Abraham. Okay. Before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, let us go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2 and the 7th verse. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. To him that overcome, I will give to thee to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now I want you to know that every seven church ages, everyone had that same statement. To him that had an ear, let him hear with the Spirit. Now if the Spirit is speaking, the Spirit is speaking to produce faith. In every age, the Spirit speaks. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, it is the Spirit producing faith in the heart of the elect. To do what? So that they might overcome. Isn't that true? Therefore, it is God who allows the enemy to rise up in each age, to be strengthened in each age, and to come against the church in each age. And it is then God who produces what is necessary, lift up the standard. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God lifts up the standard and he brings the church to a certain faith that they might overcome the beast for that day. That's God who did it. Amen. And how do you overcome? By faith. So then it is telling me that the overcomers are there that overcome by faith. And faith must come from the word, and the word comes from the Spirit. The Spirit and the Word anointed to produce faith in the heart of the believer to overcome. So Abraham's seed are the overcomers. Abraham's seed are the overcomers. Because as Abraham overcame, you must overcome also. That's very clear, you know. God took a dead woman's womb and made it fertile. God took a dead man's loins and made it fruitful. God took an old man and made him young. He took an old woman and made her young and beautiful. Again, God, in the midst of Abraham, then God told Abraham to go up the mountain. After he had made himself so real to Abraham in so many different ways that Abraham fed God. Abraham fed God. Abraham saw, amen, God in human flesh discerning the thoughts of the heart, and no one knows the heart but God. After, you see, it's not before he made himself real. It's after he had produced so much faith in Abraham, then he asked Abraham to do something exceedingly great. You know, we look at that God asked him to do a hard thing. We don't look to see how much faith God built up in him before he asked him to do it. Amen. Look what he did. He made sure Abraham was totally convinced, amen, that I can change the womb of a woman. I can change the loins of a man. I can change the body of a woman. I can change the body. I can bring a son that was not there. Amen. If he can do that, surely he can bring him from the dead. Amen. Oh, brother. Amen. What was he doing? He was building faith that God can bring life from the dead.
Amen.
That God can change bodies that are old.
Yes.
Amen. He was bringing him the power of life and the power of immortality.
Yes.
Power of body change.
Yes.
The kind of faith Abraham had to overcome. It will be the kind of faith you will need to overcome. Because only the overcomers. Amen. Not because you believe the message. You can believe the message and fail the overcoming test. Every one of us will be tried. Every one of us in the message will be tried. There is an ultimate test to overcome. Every individual, you can't say, I'm the church, I'm the elect, I believe the prophet, I believe the message. Amen. Abraham could have said all of that, but he had to pass that test. And because he was elect, amen, he just did not have the doctrines of God. Amen. He did not believe just in the word of God. He believed God.
Amen.
Amen.
that's where you and I have to come to. It must leave, amen, the letters, and it must become an experience with God. He must ask God to make himself real, make himself known, amen, that you might experience God. Then your faith is being built up for the test. And if you don't do that, you'll have a whole bunch of doctrines and word. And when the tests come to overcome, it'll do you no good. You say, Brother Tony, right now you know many things and you love your enemy. Who are you cold with? Who are you not close with that you choose not to be? Who do you avoid because they have trouble and problems? Those are the people you need. That's why they're there. Who don't you like their certain ways? You know why you don't like, why those ways are there? For you, because you don't like it. You want them to change their ways, then you'll like them and fellowship more with them, right? What if God had said, how wait for them to change their ways and I'll fellowship with them? Love brings fellowship regardless of the person's condition. You're failing already, but you know a whole lot. That's why God had to build up Abraham with real experiences with himself. And then, when you look at it that way, you find the test wasn't hard at all. Faith, real faith, true faith, makes every decision easy. But when it's knowledge faith, the decision is very hard. But true faith makes every decision simple. Abraham said, he is able to bring him from the dead. That's why. When he did that, God gave him a promise. You know what appeared? Tukar. A vindication. A vindication. This is my son. And he will possess the gates of his enemies. They will not possess him anymore. He has passed the test. Amen. Whatever he says, I will bind. Whatever he loose, I will bind. I will loose. That's the power of authority. God could now trust Abraham because he had asked Abraham for the thing he loved the most. And Abraham said, it is yours. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name. Experience, that is Abraham's seed. If you say everything that Abraham experienced, I must experience, you are coming to this test. Amen. It might be a different thing in your life, but it's coming to that test. And unless you are experiencing your faith growing, not the knowledge of the message, that is not the faith. Faith that brings humility. Faith that is produced by love. Confidence in God, assurance. That no matter what happens, I can trust him. He will work it out. No murmuring, no complaining. Knowing the love of God. Amen. To love correction. To love correction. To see trial, tribulation, and suffering as the love of God to me and his way to bring me into the stature of a perfect man. Unless your mind has been transformed to think like that, you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. We must learn how to think the way God thinks. He's teaching us that. That's why Paul said, count it all joy, the fiery trials. Taking us training the diverse testings. Amen. Because this is God's way of doing it. So in every age, there must be an overcomer. There must be overcomers. Because we are all only overcomers that will take a rapture. Only overcomers will take rapture. Not those who believe the message. Only overcomers will take rapture. 2 million came out. Only the overcomers went in. Amen. Only the overcomers. That's why the prophet preached the message, how can I overcome? Amen. Only the overcomers. I know that's frightening to our hearts. It should not be frightening. Amen. The reason it's frightening, you're not sure. Amen. But amen, the way to overcome is to ask God for real experiences.
Amen.
And you can't have real experiences unless you have real trials. It is the trials that give you the opportunity to see Him in His power working for you. See, you have to know how to ask. If you want Him to be real, then you must want the circumstances that will bring Him real. Sicknesses bring Him that you might experience healing. Troubles. Troubles bring Him to show His ever present. See, His ever presence to you keeps you close on your knees, keep you close in communion, keep you close in prayer. Amen. These things are not bad for you. These things are the very good for you.
Amen.
You see, what is good you do not want, and that which is not good you want. Amen. Troubles and peoples and problems is good for you. But the ones who are nice and loving and kind and truly can do nothing for you. What God put here for you, you don't want. You avoid. And what is not good for you, you want to hang around. But yet the light can only be appreciated in darkness, and the gospel can only be preached to sinners. And what good is it for them that are already righteous and good do for you? The way up is done, huh? Okay, now, let's go a little further on now. Let's build on it. So we know that we must overcome, and we know that to overcome, you must have experiences with God. So if you're in the message and you're just learning and growing and excited about the mysteries and so forth, I don't mean you have experienced God. You need personal experiences with God. Amen. He's not something to just be learned from a book. He is real. And He wants to make Himself real, and you need to know Him in that reality. Because when trials come, you want a God that you know for sure that you've experienced, that you have built up memorial stones in your life, experiencing that you can go back and anoint your faith. He did it this, He did it here, He will do it again.
Amen.
Amen. To anoint your faith in the real that God has been in your life. You could anoint your faith and say, if He did it then, if He heard me then, if He heard my cry then, if He came to my aid then, if He provided for me then, He'll do it again.
Amen.
My daughter keeps a book. She's 17, she'll be 18 next year. She keeps a book. I wish I had done that in my life. Every prayer request she has ever desired or asked for, she will write them down. And then when it comes to be fulfilled, she will write down the dates. She will give praise and thanks. She will close out that chapter. I wish I had done that in my beginning of my prayer. Amen. But that's such a wonderful thing. To have such expectation to know, I'm just waiting for it to come and fulfill. Aye, wonderful. Amen. Now, who are the overcomers? Well, we call the overcomers bride. And this bride is nothing more than Abraham's seed. Now, who is this bride and who is this Abraham's seed? We are called children of promise. Let's go to the book of Romans and see if we can get into part of this thing here. Hebrews. Sorry, 6 verse, I'm sorry. Romans 9 and 6. Not as though the word of God had no effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. I was very careful now. This is Israel. Okay? Let's say all of those people are Israel. And Paul is saying that all that are Israel is not Israel. So then who is the Israel of God? All they say, okay, they all say they are Abraham's seed. They all say they are Israel. And Paul is saying, hey, wait a minute. Paul is saying, not as though the word of God is not in effect, for they are not all Israel which are of
Israel.
Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. So Paul is saying, even though they all have a natural line, they are from the natural line of Abraham, yet they are not all children of Abraham. So all of Israel is of the natural line of Abraham, but yet not all of them are children of Abraham. Seems strange. He goes on to say, they all children, but in Isaac, in Isaac shall they be called. So now it is imputed seeds into the natural Isaac, as you would say. Is it true? He's showing you a type of Abraham's seed. He goes on and says, that is them which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are counted for seed. So now we have the children of the flesh and the children of promise. In Israel, all of them are natural line. But he says, even though they are of natural line, all of them are not the children of flesh, and all of them are not the children of promise. Some are children of flesh, and some are children of promise. If they are children of promise, he's going to call them Abraham's seed. He said, but the children of promise are counted for seed. But this is the word of promise. And here how he goes now, watch carefully. He goes to pick Sarah in the time of Genesis 18. In the time of Genesis 18, he's going to pick Sarah up because in the time of Sarah, amen, he is going to reveal the promised seed. He's going to make known the mystery, amen, of who is his own and who is not his own.
Amen.
Yes. He's going to reveal, amen, who has eternal life and who does not. Who was in the mind and who was not.
Amen.
And his wisdom for doing it.
Amen.
That was what he goes on to say now. For this is the word of promise, that at this time I will come. Oh, I love that. Amen. That's the age we're living in, the appearing and the coming. Amen. That he has already appeared to make known by Abraham, which is our prophet husband, the things that we have need of. This day, this Bible is talking about us. And at this time, and at this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now the son comes in two forms, eh? That's the son. That is in you. The intangible, inaudible. But yet you believe he is in you, being formed. You care for it in the world. You feed it with the world. You water it. Keep it in the right atmosphere of prayer. That is in you, being formed in you right now. Christ in you. Christ being formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ being formed in you. It's in you now, just like it was in Sarah. Yet, intangible. Inaudible. But yet, it is being formed. Yet, it is being formed. Until one day, Isaac appears in heaven. Now he becomes tangible, physically tangible, physically audible. That's the way it is. Amen. We are going to reproduce him, amen, in our character, in our life. First, intangible, inaudible. And when he is produced, then he will appear in the air and will meet him in the air.
Amen.
Tangible, to be with the Lord forever. Therefore, he goes on to say, and not this only, but when children also have conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children not being yet born, neither having done good or evil, the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but him that called it. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Let me just put this in far before I can show you Abraham's seed. You see, God, for him to bring you, for him to bring you into the condition that you might love in such a way, and that love to bring such obedience, to bring such fellowship. That's what he wanted. He wanted fellowship. But to produce fellowship, he had to produce love. He had to show you that above all things, he loved you. Therefore, from the very beginning, when God created the devil, you were in his mind. God needs the devil to prove his love for you. Did he not say he created all things for his good own pleasure? Amen. The devil is important to you and I, just as evil people are important to you and I. And people with problems, people with bad spirits, people with troubles, people who are evil, people who do wrong, people who abuse you. Amen. They are important to you. Just as the devil is important to God. Because God cannot really reveal without contrast. How can you say he's almighty if his power has never been challenged? How can he say he's all wise if there's nobody to check his wisdom? Amen. How can he say that he is strong if there's nobody to check his strength? Amen. How can he say he's merciful? Amen. If there is somebody who is not so vile. Be merciful. He needs the devil. It was created to serve God. Even in his fallen condition, he is working for God on a good point. Even the people who are placed in churches and are brothers and sisters and family and workers and employers, and everyone strategically in your life that bothers you and that you have a problem with their attitude. Amen. Don't wait for their attitude to change. Amen. You must overcome that attitude. Don't look for people to change. So that you will be at peace and happy. Amen. Those are the opportunities there for you to overcome. To mature, to grow. So God had to find a way. He wants fellowship. That's what the whole purpose of it is. Fellowship. In the evening time, what does God want? Fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship. He found one man today walking alone in the Colorado Mountain. What did he want from him? Walk with me. Fellowship with me.
Amen.
What do you want? You don't want worship. Worship is what you do him. He is due worship. For who he is. You must give him worship. You must praise him. Because it's through his very breath you live.
Nice.
This is his very creation. This is his very own. Amen. He is, amen, the creator of all life. He is due worship. But fellowship is a privilege.
Amen.
Fellowship is a privilege, brother. He wants fellowship. In the evening time. But to produce fellowship, he has to produce love. So in his wisdom, he set forth this plan. And this is the plan. He produced the devil and knew exactly what he would do. Then he let him do it. Then he produced a man and a woman. A man and a woman. He produced them. I need to do this. Hope you don't mind. I've got to draw this animated thing for you. Don't look at the drawing. There's a woman. Then he produced a man. But guess what happened? He produced an image of this man, but without a soul. And he produced this image of this man without a soul. Amen. But give him seed that can mingle with his wife. That sounds like a setup to me. Sounds like a setup to me. Don't God know exactly that if he did that Lucifer was going to plant seed in this woman through this look? Did God not know that? But God deliberately did it. Because all things was created for his good own pleasure. Amen. So what's the wisdom of God? He wants to produce fellowship. Amen. And he wants to produce to produce fellowship, he must produce love. That's the end point. Abraham's seed, the final relationship with Abraham's seed
His fellowship.
And to show you that you have become not just children, but friends of God, He shares His secret unto His friends. He shared His secret unto Abraham. He must do the same for His children. Every one of you, He wants that kind of relationship. Not just one, He wants that relationship. So in His wisdom, God now is setting the plan for the final stage, which is fellowship. But He has to go through so that you might learn. You might learn of His love. And you might be able to produce that love in you, that you will desire fellowship. Because love brings fellowship. So He designed it, the serpent with the seed, to mingle with the woman. He knew that Satan was going to bring that serpent to the woman. He knew that, and He permitted it. God designed, now watch carefully, huh? Let's say the brother locks up his entire church, but he leaves that window open. Did he make the thief come in? Is he guilty for the thief coming in? Did he make the thief come in? The thief was a thief. And he saw a window and he came in. But that's what God did. God made everything, but with the window open. He made the window open. And then He never stopped the thief from coming over the wall. And the serpent went for the woman and introduced to her the law of reproduction by biology. And she took the law of reproduction by biology, natural seed, and took it to Adam and produced a twin. Why? Why? You see, because if God is going to prove His love, He must have some way to prove I love you, but I don't love you. How else can He say election will have no sense? The word election will mean nothing. He has to have some way to choose and say, I love you, but you were not in my mind. He must be able to say, I call you, but I'm not calling you. I choose you, but I'm not choosing you. He must have a way to do it, because in the mind of God, He already had His children in His mind. He already had His children in His mind. If He had bringed all His children through the spoken word, He could not say, I love you, but not love you. He had to love all of them because they're all in His mind. So the spoken word would have brought only the perfect will of God and the children of God on the earth. There would be no new birth. They would have never known the length and depth and breadth of the love of God. That with which only comes through Christ. Amen. And then you could have never praised Him. Amen. You know, faith makes you say things differently. I hope I don't offend you. But after the book becomes open, you begin to think differently. Thank God for the fall. Thank God I was permitted to be born in sin. I didn't have a choice. He permitted it. Rabbi said He permitted it. Thank God I was permitted to be born in sin and shaken in iniquity. Thank God I fell in the depths of sin and wretchedness and wickedness and evil. Thank God. Because if I did not experience that, I would never appreciate righteousness.
Amen.
It takes contrast to bring out, amen, your appreciation, brother. God can only be revealed in contrast, and only you can experience the realness of God if you can compare with it. Look where you were. Look what you were doing. Look at the life you were living. Look how you were inflicting pain and sorrow and suffering and selfishness. And look at the life now. Oh, brother, I could not say He is my deliverer. He would never be praised of being a deliverer if I had not fallen. I could not say He's my sanctifier if I were not clean. If I was clean, I couldn't say that. Oh, the fall gives Him purpose, and it gives me reason to praise Him. Amen. Like the fall, even is not when the book becomes open, the fall comes for an opportunity for you to praise Him, to worship Him, to glorify His name. Amen. To thank Him. It has purpose. Amen. You think the devil put one over on God? Oh, without the fall, I could not say he's a mighty conqueror, a mighty deliverer. Amen. The Lord, the name of the Lord is a mighty fortress. Amen. He might have been all those things, but it wouldn't come from my lips. Can I think I can say he's an all wise God? Can I say he's the Almighty without? Oh, no, brother. Couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. In the wisdom of God, he permitted the fall that I might know. He might show his strength. He might show his power. He might show his ability that I, in him, might be able to praise him. Amen. And he made the fall so that I would have needs. Amen. I would have needs because me having needs give God purpose for being God. I need a deliverer. Here's a deliverer. I will praise him, my deliverer. He's my rock, he's my salvation. Amen. He's my strength. I have need. That gives him reason to be God. Amen. If I take my needs and embarrass and ashamed, I hide it from him. I don't give him the opportunity. I rob him from glory. I rob him from glory. And if I don't call upon him in a time of my need, it shows I don't really believe he can supply my need. Amen. That's why he said, amen, God is eager to supply your riches. Amen. All of your needs according to his riches and glory. Because in doing so, he proves that he is God. And your very needs prove that he has reason and purpose. The wisdom of God. Amen. Why should I be ashamed that I fell? But my falling glorifies God. Amen. Gives him meaning, gives him reason. Why should I be afraid of my faults when there is a mighty deliverer who can deliver me? Amen. That I might call upon him and experience his power, his sanctification. No, when the book becomes open, they sing a new song.
Amen.
Amen. They sing a new song. They don't think the way they used to think. Well, just like the fall produced a contrast and showed that it's brought us to such a state we couldn't help ourselves. Only one thing we can do is look to him. That he might show himself to be all that he is. That we might praise him. He also did it by introducing the law of reproduction. And in this reproduction law, God was going to bring forth men and women that were not in the eternal thoughts of God, but they were in the creative thoughts of God. So now man and woman begin to come together for pleasure. You don't just say to your wife, oh honey, today I feel like a boy child. Oh, you know, God, you don't know if you're going to produce a boy child. So they begin to come together under the marriage covenant for pleasure. And they will come together and according to God now, they don't know this, but according to God, he is either going to release a germ of God, a seed of God, or he's just going to have a son, a man born with just a soul. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But the Bible said the foundation of stand sure that God knows his own. Amen. You know what the Bible said? The foundation of God stands sure that God knows his own. Amen. And therefore now he has seeds in his mind. And every once in a while he will permit a seed on the earth. According to his choosing. He chooses the time. He chooses the people. He chooses the nation. He chooses the country. He chooses the age to be born in. Not you. He does. So all men have souls. Souls does not mean it's eternal. But not all men have gene. Only the elect have gene. And that's why we can say the evidence of election is a gene. The evidence of God's love is a gene. The evidence of a gene is that it can respond to the word of God with its data. And the evidence it can respond to the word of God is a believer who walks in the light.
Amen.
As he is in the light.
Amen.
Amen. So therefore now God can say he has a whole bunch of people that is born on the earth. Some with seed and some with not seed.
But he knows when his voice comes that the seed will be quickened by the voice. That makes him, my sheep hear my voice.
Why? Why did he do that? Why did he do it? He did it to prove his love. He did it, all of this is to prove, amen, that you were before the foundation of the world. In my mind, you were my elect, my chosen, my called. Amen. Your extended family might never be. But you are. Amen. You might have a brother, a sister, close to the same age, hear the same testimony. And you are here and they are out there in some denomination. Can you make them see? Never. He chose to put seed. He chose. So now the children that are born that does not have gene is called children of the flesh. And the children that are born, amen, with seed are called children of promise. Amen. Children of promise. And the children of promise is counted to be Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Because it has nothing to do with natural life. It has to do with a godly generation. Amen. Amen. A line that is in God.
Amen.
And his own. His elect, his chosen, his own sons. Of his own substance. That's why they cry in themselves, Abba, Father. Amen. That's why he said, I will not leave you comfortless. The word there means orphans. I will not leave you orphans. Amen. As a father, can a father leave his children orphans? Never. Amen. But as a father, he must tutor them. As a father, he's training them. Because if he's a king, then we are kings. If he's a priest, then we are priests. But the outside is not kings and priests. They are not on the same line. But you are kings and priests.
Amen.
Therefore, you are from the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
You are from the lineage of Judah. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
You are spiritual Judahs.
Amen.
You are the spiritual Judah. Judah was a warrior tribe.
Amen.
In the Bible, Judah was the warriors. Judah is where David came from. Judah is the royal line. Judah is the line that kings come from. Amen. It says the scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh, till Messiah comes. Isn't that true? Amen. In other words, the only true kings and priests must come from Judah. And Judah is only produced by Christ. Because he is the only seed of Judah left.
Amen.
Talking about a spiritual seed now. He is the Judah line. Amen. And therefore he is of Judah. Do you know David was from Judah? Do you know that David was a prophet? Do you know that David was a priest? David served communion. 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and 16. David served communion. Do you know that David was a prophet, a priest, and a king? Do you know that David is the one that set a new order up? David did not worship in the tabernacle of Moses under law. David took the ark and placed it in a tent on Mount Jerusalem, on Mount Zion. Do you know that David was the only one to initiate worship and singing in the presence of the ark? Do you know that David changed the course from Moses into a new covenant course with 24 courses? Do you know that in Moses' tabernacle there was no singing, there was no dancing, there was no shouting, there was no songwriting, there was no music? In the tabernacle of Moses. But do you know that David wrote psalms and wrote songs and played musical instruments and David danced before the Lord? Amen. Why? Because he was under a covenant of grace.
Amen.
Under the Judah covenant and the covenant of grace. Christ's covenant. Oh, brother, look at the line. Do you, just for information's sake, do you know that David had communion? Served communion like Christ served communion to his people? Do you know that Abraham served communion? Watch carefully. Do you know that God told Abraham the king shall come out of thee, and David was a type of the true king.
Amen.
So David is the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
David is the seed of Abraham, because he promised Abraham, king shall come out of thee. And Saul was not a king after God's heart. Amen. But David was a king after God's heart.
Amen.
From the tribe of Judah. Do you know that the Leviticus priesthood was only permitted because the people wanted law? The Leviticus priesthood was only permitted because the people chose law. But David, he was not under the priesthood of Leviticus. David acted like Melchizedek order priesthood. Abraham was not under Levitical order. It wasn't even initiated then. He was under Melchizedek order. Melchizedek sued him communion.
Amen.
And David, being Abraham's seed, sued the people communion.
Amen.
He taught it in the father Abraham, and the children learned it under David.
Amen.
Amen. And the son of David comes riding into Jerusalem. Amen. He takes it and teaches it to his children, and now his children is serving each other communion.
Amen.
Under the order of Melchizedek, the king of Jerusalem, the king of peace, the king of right, the mighty warrior, the mighty God, the eternal, never having beginning, no ending of days, or end of life. Do you know that when God met Abraham, he met him on the plains of Mamre? Do you know Mamre speaks of Patmos in Genesis 18? Do you know it was a promise when God appeared in human flesh at the time of the opening of the seals that you shall grow up in stalls as fatted calves? Isn't that a promise in the book of Job? And the floor shall be full of meat, and the vat shall be full of wine, and you shall grow up in the stores like fatted calves, a time of plenty, a time of strength. Amen. A time when there's plenty of form and latter rain falling in the same month. Do you know that Mamre means fatness? But do you know that Mamre is in the inheritance of Hebron? And do you know Hebron means communion? Hebron means communion. Do you know that in Hebron is where David was crowned and anointed king? Was not David anointed king in Hebron? Absolutely. Do you know that in this day, God appeared in human flesh in a time of plenty, in a time of great power, a time of great glory?
Amen.
Do you know his last message was communion? Do you know that he initiated what true communion was?
Amen.
In this day to the sons of God? Just as Abraham line came through. We are the same order of that, a Melchizedek order. To be kings and priests of this earth, follow me. Just a little bit more scripture. In the book of Revelation 5 and 9. Watch very carefully. 8 verse. And when he had taken the book before, and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them having harps and golden vials full of the odors which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, because thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God, by blood of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And watch now, next verse. And hath made us unto all God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Let me close out by this. My aim is to show Who is the seed? Who is that church? Who is Abraham's seed? What was the purpose? The end result is fellowship, as we were close with it. But I want you to notice something. Abraham's seed is a Melchizedek order. David's order is a Melchizedek order. And the prophet of God is introducing Melchizedek again in this day. It means that you have come into that same order. Now, the seven church ages did not know that order. They were under Levitical order by ignorance. They were under ceremonies and legalism and so forth in that order, seven church ages. That's why Melchizedek did not appear. The order was to be restored back in the end time. But now they died in ignorance to the Melchizedek order. But are they seed? Are they seed? Even though they don't look like kings, they don't look like priests, even though they did not have the right order, are they seed? Yes, the prophet preached, how can I overcome? I'm showing you, because they overcame, even then they did not know the order. Even though they did not know the promise, they saw it afar off, but they did not know it. They did not get into the promise. And the Melchizedek order. But they were overcomers. And if they are overcomers, they will be in the rapture. If they be in the rapture, they will join us in the order of Melchizedek and come back to be kings and priests. Even though they did not experience it in their day. Now we have to go one step further now. All who is in this order. When does this order start? Who is in this order? Is it just the New Testament saints? Is the bride made up of Jews and Gentiles starting from the day of Pentecost? Because we know that the church is built on the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Is the church or the royal seed of Abraham only made up of the New Testament church of Jews and Gentiles? How about the Old Testament? How about the Old Testament? Is the Old Testament bride? Are they servants? What are they? Are they friends of the bridegroom? What are they? What seed are they? Are they Abraham's seed? Are they of the Melchizedek order? We did not know that. We did not know that. But in this day, if he has appeared, he must make known to us the seed. The seed. Watch very carefully. I want you to notice that Israel was given the law. They asked for the law. And under the law, they failed. So there was never an Israel born as a nation. Israel was never saved as a nation. But they will be saved as a nation with 144,000. So they were never saved as a nation. Amen. But they will be saved as a nation under the 144,000. So then the Old Testament that died, what were they saved? They weren't saved as a nation. What were they saved as? Matthew 27, the Bible says that when Jesus rose, many, not all, many of the saved rose with him. And they rose in glorified bodies. They rose in glorified bodies, but when would they come up? What kind of people will they be? Will they be Abraham's seed? Will they be bride? Will they be Jews? Will they be friends of the bridegroom? What will they be? What class will they come up in? Remember now, they have already resurrected. They already have glorified bodies. We just need to know what class of people they are. And if this is the book of life, and the life giver appeared in this day, then he must reveal where they are. Because the book of life has been revealed. We know every class of people and where they will come up. He has done that already. He has placed the bride. Now we must know, what about these Old Testament sins? Okay, the word redeem means to bring back to your original scheme. So let's start working on that. Adam. Was Adam a silver? Was Eve a silver? Adam was a son. Eve was a daughter. If redemption means to bring back and God brings them back to their original state, then what would they be? Would they be servants? Would they be sons? They must come back to be sons. Upon Eve's sons also, just sons of God who takes care of all the believers. Would they be sons, right? It means if Adam is a son, he's the Old Testament, it means that this son is also going to be classified as king. Adam was a priest.
Adam was also a prophet.
Would he come back into the order of Melchizedek? When Adam sinned, who came down to judge him? Was it not Melchizedek? When Adam came down, who was the priest that slayed the lamb and covered him with the lambskin? Was it not? There was not another priest there. Adam didn't kill the lamb himself. Amen. Who in the materialized slayed the lamb and then made a sacrifice and covered them?
Amen.
There's only one. It's Melchizedek. Who judged them? Who cursed the beast? Change his form. Yes, you have to have a priest, right? Because the priest is also the judge, and the judge came down to judge. And there's only one judge. The same one that came to Abraham must be the same one. Amen. Now, if this be true, who gave the promise? That the seed of the woman. Who gave the promise of the seed of the woman? Because the seed of the woman is the ultimate sacrifice. Genesis 3:15 is the ultimate. Who gave that promise? It had to be the one who knows, amen, the entire plan of redemption.
Amen.
Amen. The one who knows the entire plan of redemption. The Redeemer himself.
Amen.
And the prophet said, seven seed brings him back down to earth. He was appearing on the earth. And he said, who is this Melchizedek? Who justified you today and said you are a sinless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ? Was it not Melchizedek?
None.
Amen. Who condemned Adam and Eve, put them out of the garden, but made a covering for them and made a promise, I'll bring you back into fellowship again.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. The very one, Melchizedek. Oh no. So what order will Adam rise in? And Melchizedek covered him with a lamb and tell him, wait until the promise of Genesis 3:15. It means when Genesis 3:15 became flesh in Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, he never did stop preaching. His ministry went beyond the grave. Jesus never did stop preaching. He changed his body, but he went to souls that were in prison. He kicked the door open, Brother Branham said. He took the keys of death and hell, placed it on his side in time, and he said he went up to paradise. And there, he said, I am the seed of the woman. Who promise was that? I am the stone hewn out of a mountain without hands. I am the wheel within the wheel. Did he not say that I am the promised one? What was he doing? He was revealing to them who had believed in the promise from afar but did not live to see it. Amen. So Adam saw Genesis 3:15 fulfillment beyond the grave and knew it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. I ask you now, did Jesus preach in paradise? Did Jesus preach in paradise? Brother Brown said he did. In the Hebrew series, Questions and Answers, Brother Brown said Jesus continued his ministry of preaching in paradise. What was he preaching? He was unveiling himself to them who believed in part. And so therefore, before the living church was built on the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament that died was now receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. Before Peter ever preached, and before we ever get glorified bodies, they had glorified bodies. And before we would ever be with the Lord, they were with the Lord. Old Testament saints, who are they? They are not servants. They are the Hebrew bride. They are the Hebrew bride. They are called the elect of the Old Testament. That's why they are overcomers. Let's look at the book of Hebrews and see if we can back it up with the prophet message. And that's what we're waiting for. We're looking for the confirmation from Malachi 4. Mainly. Hebrews 11. Let's look at the 15th verse. These all died in faith. Wait a minute. Didn't Galatians say it? That they that are of faith is Abraham's seed? Is that true? Alright, now if they are of faith is Abraham's seed, I ask one more thing. If Abraham did not die under law, Abraham was before the law. Abraham was before Moses. If there was no law, is Abraham a Jew or a Gentile? He's a Gentile. When Abraham, now Abraham is our father. Can you imagine we being Abraham's seed, we make it and bride and Abraham didn't make it? Can you imagine Abraham not being bride, yet he's called a father of faith? Can you imagine Abraham experiencing God unveiling himself in Genesis 18 from 12 to 18 to 24? And Abraham not make it? Yet we are Abraham's seed. What is Abraham? Is he bride or no? He's bride. Because watch, all that died in faith, all that died in faith having not received the promise, but have seen it afar off. It's not that they didn't know. Even they believed it, but it didn't happen in their day. It happened afar off. And when it did happen, he went down to confirm to them what you saw far off. Here it is.
Amen.
Here I am. He revealed to them that I am the seed of the woman, that you were all, the lambs of the sacrifices, all pointing to me.
Amen.
God saved them under a credit card. Saved them under a credit card. When the blood of Jesus Christ came, it wiped it out. That they also are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are elect, they are bride, they are chosen. Esther, bride, Gentile. She will be bride. She is bride. So can you prove that to me, Brother Tony? I can. Let's go to Revelation 19. One of the mysteries of the end time is the church. What is it made up? We mostly think the Jews were the only Jews in the first 100 years, but it wasn't so. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And the 7th verse. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And she was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Fine linen. For fine linen is the righteousness of the
servants.
No. Of the saints. Okay, let's go now. Let's go to Revelation 3. And 5. Talking about the saints in the church ages now. And thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And he that overcame cometh, the same shall be clothed in a white raiment, and I will blot out his name. I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Agree? Now let's go to Revelation chapter 5. And around about were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of gold. I want you to know there are 24 elders. In the message 24 elders, Brother Branham said there are 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament and 12 apostles of the New. He said, what do they represent? He said they represent redeemed men. They represent redeemed. You know what redemption means? To bring back to the original condition. Is that right? Now watch this. 24 apostles for the New Testament and 24 patriarchs of the Old Testament. They represent the old and the new order. 12 old, 12 new. Brother Man interpreted Abraham in Genesis 15. He said, you see, Abraham, the father of faith, God told him to cut the sacrifice into two. He said, because the covenant will be made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Abraham's covenant is not just New Testament. It's made up of the old and the new. He bridged the two together in Christ. It was not divided. He said, the sacrifice was not divided. He said, it was the two parts of redemption. To bring the elect of the old and the elect into the new, into one body, Christ Jesus. See? So now watch. These are 12 apostles. They represent redeemed men. It means there must be redeemed men of the Old Testament. And redeemed men of the New Testament. Now, if they are redeemed and they are different, they will be dressed differently. But they all have white raiment on. And guess what? They all had crowns on their head. They were all kings. But wait a minute, only Melchizedek order have kings. Melchizedek is the king of Jerusalem. And you are kings and priests. The people outside of the city will not be kings and priests. Not God's kings and priests. They'll be leaders of their own nation. But we are kings and priests unto all nations. What are these men with 12 crowns on their head doing? What are 12 patriarchs doing with 12 crowns on their head? What are they doing? Only the heirs of the earth, Abraham's seed is heirs of the earth. Only them that are in Christ are joint heirs with Christ. Only them who are part of the vine and the branch. I am the vine, he are the branch. If he's a king, I'm a king. If he's a priest, I'm a priest. Amen. Whatever he is, I am. The same life in him is the same life in you. Same vine, same branch. Watch now. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. So they have crowns of gold on their head. They are in white linen, fine linen. Watch the night. Watch the night. That's the 8th verse, 8 to 10 verse. And when he had opened the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Wait a minute. This is the book of redemption. They are identified with the opening of the book. When the book was opened. Hey, the Old Testament represented redeemed men was interested in the book. And the New Testament 12, they are interested in the book too. Watch now. And they fell before the Lamb, every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song saying, wait a minute. They sung a new song saying, worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They are singing, the 24 elders are singing. The all 24 know that Jesus is the Redeemer and he's worthy to take the book. The 12 knew, they say he's worthy to take the book. Remember, I told you, not only an apostle knew that Jesus was the Redeemer and preached Jesus the Christ, but before they preached that, Jesus was down there revealing the revelation of Jesus Christ to them who had seen it above. That's why they died in faith, but their faith was confirmed when 3:15 Genesis, the seed of the woman, came to you. So if they are built on the revelation, they are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are redeemed, amen, by the blood of Jesus Christ. They rose in the resurrection, or you see, glorified body after Christ's resurrection. They were waiting for him. Are they not part of Abraham's seed? Aye, watch now. Let's even be true. The 10th verse. And have made us, 24 elders speaking, have made us unto our God kings and priests. 24 elders represented Old Testament redeemed. They say, you have made us kings and priests. In other words, we must be also from the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a king and a priest, and we are kings and priests of our God. But I thought it says, you are a royal priesthood. Only the New Testament must be there. 1 Peter 2 says, and you are a royal priesthood. Amen? A holy nation. Amen? A peculiar people. Isn't that true? But here, these men are 12 patriarchs are included in that peculiar people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. Who are they? Are they not bright? The bride is kings and priests, they are kings and priests. The bride is dressed in fine linen, they are dressed in fine linen. The bride has crowns and thrones, they have crowns and thrones. What's the next piece? And we shall reign on the earth. The only person who reigns is the bride. She sits joint heir on the throne to reign and to rule. Here, 12 Old Testament patriarchs are reigning and ruling. I say to you, brother, that the Old Testament elect is bride. They are called the Hebrew group of the bride. They are called the Hebrew group of the bride. I just want to give you 5 minutes and I'll put some quotes together for you. In the message, How Can I Overcome? After the seals was opened, Brother Branham says, we see our Lord, what did he do? We realize that those Old Testament saints, this morning we find out that they did go, call them saints. When Jesus raised, they went with him. And Lord, we believe that we'll go. When he sounds the trumpet, we believe it. And the bride will go forth at that time and join with the Hebrew group. And together, there'll be a wedding supper in glory. See, they were redeemed, but they had to wait for the supper. They had to wait for all the bride to unite together for the supper. Now, watch carefully. In the message, Souls in Prison, Brother Ram said, the book of redemption is only for the New Testament. Only for the New Testament. Read it, Souls in Prison. He said, not for the old, because the old had already been redeemed. The only thing the Old Testament saints is waiting for is the title deed. Because only with the title deed can you come back and reign on the earth. So they have glorified bodies, but redemption is 2 things. He redeemed them back to their position, but their inheritance of the earth they did not have. They must wait until the kinsman redeemer makes his claim and then give the book, the inheritance, back to the elect. Then they will receive it also. But they are waiting. That's the only thing they need, is the title deed. But we need the body they have, and we need the title deed also. And they cannot be complete or perfected without us, because we are the ministry the title deed comes back to. That's why they are waiting. Amen. Continue. I want you to notice also in Matthew 8:11-12, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. East and west and north means many different kinds of people, nations, tongues, the fellowship with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the United Signs and Time, Brother Brown said, many of those Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, and many, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones. Okay. Hebrew 11 not talking about New Testament, it talks all about Old Testament. There are many of those Hebrew 11, and when they come together, they unite with the living one. The church united with the word, the church united with the word, united together, being one. The dead saints with the living saints, united together to be one, and going together in united Christ, united with Christ, yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Rapture message. I thought, oh my God, one day that a blast will come heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And them Old Testament saints back yonder are waiting for that blast forth and come, a blast forth and come out of that of their first and go into the resurrection. And we'll drop in line and go into the sky. If we are going to drop in line, it means they're already in line. See, the Old Testament saints are waiting. Then the resurrected saints must come up. Then we who are living must drop in line with that. All united for the wedding supper. I want to also show you in Romans. In a message faith, Brother Bram says, and now look, the reason he cut those two in two, because the covenant of salvation had cleaved between the Old and New Testament. Upon the different sacrifice, and upon the sacrifice of the animal, and upon one, the Son of God. The healing and always was based on faith of the people. That's a reason they could not be separated. Okay. Ephesians chapter 3, if you don't mind. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sorry. For he is our peace who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity between the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy, and came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, and to them that were near. Both the Jews were near, and the Gentiles were afar off. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. Who saints? Fellow citizens with the Jewish saints. And of the household of faith, and are built upon the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I just want to take one more piece and close it up like this. You might say to yourself, well, Brother Tony, how did the Old Testament saints come up? And if they won't come, if they are given king crowns, and they're going to be bride, they must be associated with the voice of the resurrection. And they must be associated with the trump of God. In the rapture message, I've not kept you long, this piece is important to seal the whole thing together. In the rapture message, Brother Branham says, look at the shout, the voice, and the trump back there. Because if they're not associated with a rapture message, then they are not part of the first resurrection. But if they are part of the first resurrection, they are part in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, what's the shout, voice, and trump back there? Now, Brother Bram showed us, what is the trump? He said, what's the message? He said, that was John 6:66. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. This was a message. This message, if you just say that word, you can preach the entire Bible. He says, because you partake of the wrong blood and the wrong flesh, that's what Eve did. Eating does not mean like this. It means communing, uniting, becoming one with it. And therefore, she partake of the wrong blood or the wrong union, and she brought death. But he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, unless you come, become part of me and I of you, you have no life in me. Amen. He was talking about serpent seed. He was talking about the fall. He was telling you the answer to Genesis' problem was me. Without me, you cannot live. Amen. I am the meat that was sent down. I am the bread that was sent from heaven. I am the Redeemer. I am the only hope. I am the desire of all the nations. And the whole plan of redemption is in me. Right in there was the whole message. Abraham said, when he said that, he said, they began to leave. And he said to Peter, he said, would you also leave? He said, thou have the words, the message of eternal life. Abraham said, that was the shout. Then he showed the voice in two folds, John 11 and John 12. I'm sorry, John 11 and John the cross. When at Lazarus' grave, he cried with a loud voice. That was the voice of the resurrection. So you have the shout, you have the voice. And Lazarus came from the grave. He also said the voice of the resurrection was cried on the cross. He said when he cried with a loud voice, he said the graves were open. But the saints did not rise until his resurrection. He said that was the voice of the resurrection. Now he keeps telling you, watch the shout, voice, and trump back there. Watch now. What was the shout? The message. Under the message, we find that there was a separation and a uniting. We find under the voice, we find Lazarus resurrected from the grave. Under the trump, now the trump is in three folds. Trump. We know under the trump that the bride goes up. Moses and Elijah comes down, and Satan enters in, into the heart of the pope. So we know that part of the trump was happening because Satan entered into the heart of Judas. And Jesus said, now your hour of darkness has come. See, now darkness was united against him, the word. See, now, so we find that that was fulfilled, that Satan entered into the heart of Judas. Well, said, watch it back there. He says now, watch carefully. Now the bride goes up. We find Jesus and the believers on Mount Olive. What is he doing? He's going up. He's going up. And as he is going up, two men appears dressed in white. They represent Moses and Elijah. They knew the mystery that he was coming back. Would Moses and Elijah knew the mystery of the coming of the Lord? They attacked Moses and Elijah. They knew, and they tell the people who were Jews, the same Jesus that you see go up will come back in like manner. They had the mystery of the coming of the Lord. And by the time Moses and Elijah came down and spoke to them, he went up, and guess what? The Holy Ghost fell in Jerusalem. And a door was opened in the house of David. Of grace and supplication. Is that not what's going to happen in the trump? The bride will walk, Moses and Elijah will come down, Satan will incarnate into the pope, and when Moses and Elijah preach, grace will open up, and the Holy Spirit will fall on 144,000 in Jerusalem. He said, watch the short voice and trump back there. My key is this. The Old Testament saints went up under the trump. Where would we go up? Under the trump. They went up on the trunk, we go up on the trunk. Why are they so different from us? They are part of the first resurrection, we are part of the first resurrection. Amen. They rose because of Christ, we raised because of Christ. What is the difference? There is no difference. They are the Hebrew group. They are Abraham's seed. They are bride. They are elect. That's the mystery of the church that is not known. Never was known until this day. Even in the message, we believe the bride is only made up of them that are after Pentecost. And we say it's made up of Jews and Gentiles because the first 100 years was mainly Jews and the rest was Gentiles. But look at it this way. In the Old Testament, It was mainly Jews, just few Gentiles. In the New Testament, it is all Gentiles and just few Jews. But when you put the two together, you have a well-balanced group of Jews and Gentiles. The mystery of the bride, of the church, being made up of Jew and Gentile, was not revealed in any other day, under any other ministry, except this ministry. Why? Melchizedek must show Abraham's seed. He must reveal to us the body of Jesus Christ. Brother Graham said that that was the foundation. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph was the foundation. Can we go up without a foundation? Can we be built without a foundation? And if we go up, the foundation must go with us. God bless you. God keep you. If something will be said to encourage you, that this message was not brought by man. This message was God himself. Believe God. And you are Abraham's. It's God's. Almighty God, we said many things tonight, Father, about your great wisdom, in how you permitted the fall, Father, that you might prove your love to us. Then you call us and show us who we are, Abraham's seed. And then you call us and show us all who are Abraham's seed, Father, that we can appreciate your great plan of redemption, your great wisdom, Father, that we can say with them that are waiting there, that we are kings and priests, redeemed unto our God, and we'll come back to be kings and reign on the earth. I pray, Lord, this morning, if there be any who will not be committed to this great message of your own, who have not given their heart, amen, because Father, you said to Abraham, shall I hide to Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? And you see, Lord, you reveal your secrets unto your children. You reveal your secrets unto your own. You say, Father, the Son said, the Father loveth, the Son loveth, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him many things. We believe you love us, Lord, and you are revealing yourself and your secrets, not just for us to know, but our confidence. Because you love us, you are doing these things. God bless you, Father. Father, tonight, bless your name, bless the name of your dear Son, bless your children, and bless this word in our hearts, and may encourage us, Lord, and have us looking unto thee more and more. Bless this assembly, bless the elders, give them wisdom, Father, make them strong, Father. Let the people lift up the hands of the man of God in prayer. May them hedge him in prayer, Lord. Hedge him with their loyalty, their faithfulness, Lord. With their tithe, their offering, their presence, Father. For we know, Lord, this is not a one-man work. It'll take a body work, Lord. Give them men, men that are loyal, men that are faithful, dedicated men, men who will stand the test. In the trying time, Lord, will defend the post at all costs. Will defend the man of God at all costs, Father. Or will look over his human frailty and look to the office you have given him this morning, Lord. Continue to use him, continue to strengthen him. Make him strong in your right hand, Father. That your Lord, that your work will prosper. Your people be strengthened, Lord. And the faith of the people will rise to meet the condition and the promise is our prayer. We commit them in your great hands this morning, Father. No greater hands can we commit them to, Lord, but your hands. For we ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. God keep you this morning, brother.